Powered by Creative Bully Media.
Bully your goals, not people.
Nah, we gotta lay it cool.
We tired of being cool, man. Every time we get in an argument with the Lord, you say be cool. The same thing, be cool. We be too cool, we gonna lose.
We gonna lose. Who number one?
Forget that.
Yo, y'all know what time it is. Welcome to Forget That Yo Radio, episode 221. It's your boy, the Black David Hasselhoff, a.k.a. Two Watches at a Time. So you know what time it is, a.k.a. the Prince of Wakanda, a.k.a. Litty Hernandez, a.k.a. Litty Rodriguez, a.k.a. Tyson D. Grabby, a.k.a. the brown skin Prince Hakeem with no semi, solo ho, a.k.a. Snitchy Snitchington, I will tell, and you going to jail. And we out here.
What's up, man? It's your boy Stone, Crip Up or Grip Up, Crip, a.k.a. Stone El Terrible, a.k.a. your girl topped me off. Y'all start kissing right after I dropped her off, a.k.a. box two midgets at a time, a.k.a. a boo boo, you looking at a bad nigga, a.k.a. Filthy Rodriguez, a.k.a. Dirty Sanchez, a.k.a. Daryl Sweet Baloney Jones, a.k.a. I'm a lazy nigga at the laundromat. I don't fold for nothing. Let's get it.
Yo, and today we got special guests from the podcast that I am a part of that y'all have heard me talk about, Cannabis and Chardonnay, and I will let them take it from here.
What up, it's your girl T, aka Tanisha's Too Long, so I made my own abbreviation, aka She Is New Day, but I'm really a sinner, so they call me Sin, aka I'm somebody's wife, damn it. I smoke weed every day. It's your girl Sin, guys. Thanks for having me on. We're cool this week. We're the cool kids.
That part. It's your boy Stylist. I don't got as many names as the whole cast, but y'all got more names than Diddy. And Sean Combs, Diddy, his whole family. Y'all got more names than his whole family and the Kardashian clan. AKA, I'm Stylist. I do this. AKA, I'm sipping purely green tea right now. The one with no sugar, rude. And smoking some cannabis.
So what's the strand y'all got tonight?
Ooh, this one is called Burberry Kush, and it's an indica. Yeah. It's like super heavy. Like I had to take two naps yesterday and one today. It's hard to knock me off my block, right? But I get up at butt crack of dawn, so I did all my work before like 11 o'clock a.m., and then I smoked a couple of joints and took a nap. I can't even lie.
So is it just two? Is it just indica and sativa, or is it more strains?
Well, most strains are the Kush. They come from the Kush strain, period, because of the genetics. Like the one thing people think is that they can just create strains. Not so, because believe it or not, marijuana, cannabis, the appropriate name, is actually very dominant. As a female, it is very dominant, so much so that it can over-pollinate and deactivate the male component when creating strains. So usually a lot of these strains, they derive from that same, you know, seed, the genetics, the origin, and then people just kind of breed it with other strains that it will actually bind to. So every strain is going to have a certain level of indica and a certain level of sativa, because it comes from the male-female compounds, kind of like, you know, when you have male and female people, the XY chromosomes and same thing with cannabis. So every cannabis strain has both sativa and indica. What defines the dominance of your effects is going to be the level in which it has. So if it has more of the components that make up psychoactive activities, they would deem it a sativa. And if they have components that relax more so the mind body, heal aches and pains, activate CBD, not so much the THC, then they tend to be indica dominant. So what we're smoking right now is an indica dominant. So most people who have pain, need rest, have like insomnia or anxiety, these indicas are like the best strains for them. And I personally, because like I'm a creative director, I'm always creating content and editing content, my husband and I. And so for me, I don't need to be psychoactive. I have to calm my brain down a lot of times just to even like rest, because most of the time I have like, we have over 16 clients. So a lot of times we have different projects in our head all day. Mm. So for me, I need an indica to just calm me the fuck down and get sleep.
Okay.
Okay, now, I know I've asked you this before, and I know the people that listen to this, they're going to be like, damn, she know a lot about weed. So tell everybody why that is.
Okay, well, honestly, I came out the closet of being a cannabis smoker fully 100%. I don't want to say in 2014. I was sneaking around smoking cannabis for like a good decade, and I didn't even start consuming until I was about 27, 28 on a consistent basis. And at the time, I didn't realize my body was going through certain things, right? And one of the things that they tried to put on me was bipolar disorder. And so they kept giving me these medications. I had also got diagnosed with lupus, and they kept giving me these medications. These medications made me feel like dying. Like I felt death on myself every day, just being sick. So finally, you know, my doctor was like, if you're not responding to this and you're not eating, you got to eat in order to take this medication. It's going to keep making you sick. He was like, have you tried like medical cannabis? And I'm laughing because I'm like, dude, I'm a Christian and I've been praying to Jesus to help me get delivered from like smoking weed, right? But for me, it wasn't about getting high and being unproductive. I would smoke it and then go get a lot of shit done. So for me, it would be like counteractive. So I could never understand people saying, oh, I can't do anything. And then seeing my father smoke weed my whole life and seeing all of the things that he accomplished, it was never demonized in my household, right? But at this phase in my life, I was really trying to be on the straight and narrow, because I used to be a major drug addict. I used to be addicted to cocaine and hallucinogenics and ecstasy. And so for me, I didn't want to smoke because I was a singer at the time. And I was like, no, I'm not going to smoke cannabis. It's not good for me. And then it came to a point where I started smoking cannabis because I wasn't dabbling in the other drugs. But there was something about it that brought me a certain kind of clarity. I can't describe what I feel when I smoke cannabis other than it makes me see things differently, not in like a esoteric way. It just brings a calmness, right? And so my doctor's like, okay, well, you pray about it, do what you need to do, but just know that you need to eat something, because I was losing a lot of weight. Like, I was getting super skinny. I was like about 120 pounds, and I had never been that thin since I was about 19. So I went to the weed clinic, you know, because they send you to get, they give you a referral so that you go to the doctor. And then I went to the weed clinic, and they kind of ask you about your issues and what you need it for. And then from there, once I had a legal license to go and get cannabis, oh my God, it was like Disney World for me. I kept going to different dispensaries to see how they were set up. Every time I would walk into the dispensaries and get strains, I would always ask questions. Like, it started just from that, me saying, well, what does this do? What does that do? Like, well, what does this mean? And I just so happened to be, you know, encountering some very educated bud tenders. And from there became relationships, because I was a number of like every day. And they're like, what do you do? How do you have all this money? You can just spend it on weed. And I just was like, I don't know. I couldn't understand why. I was curious about it, and I was trying these strains. I would notice different things, like, this one has a flavor to it. Do you guys notice that? And then that's when I learned about terpenes, flavor profiles that are within the cannabis. Like, I started learning everything. And then eventually the universe introduced me to a man who owned a dispensary, and he took me to Sonoma in Oakland and taught me basically how to grow cannabis in the fucking forest. Like, we were planting trees. Like, I had shovels. I was climbing trees. There was ticks out there. He's like, you know what? You're pretty badass. He was like, I can't honestly say that any female that I know, like, would come out here and be digging in the forest, planting trees. And this deer had fucking ran, right? This deer had came up to us because we was putting down the coyote pee to keep them away. And there was one there. Yo, I got freaked the fuck out. But longer story short, dealing with him, he knew people from Oaksterdam, which is the one of the top cultivation schools. And basically, Kyle Cushman was kind of like a mentor in a sense in terms of giving us information and teaching us. And then he had a YouTube channel. Then there was the Cannabis Bible. I just started myself because for the first time in my life, I looked at it as medication. I didn't look at it as, oh, let me just get high. Because I used to call it marijuana drugs. Like, every time I go pick up my stuff from the weed dude, I'd be like, hi, can I have my drugs? You know, and he'd be like, it's not a drug. They would get so offensive, you know, because of the language. But I'd have to say by about 2014 is when I made that mental transition, and I just kind of fell in love with cannabis, not like, ooh, because I just like being high, but when you really tap into the power of this one plant and all that it's capable of doing, like even how it generates and regenerates itself, it posed a threat to the cotton industry, which is why they made it illegal. And because it needs specific environments to grow, you know, a lot of those environments were like Mexico and tropical places where melanated people resided. So they made that shit illegal because that was competition. Then they called it some stupid shit, marijuana. And it's like, it's very interesting, like, how society has demonized it when this thing has more benefits than it does ailments, especially the way you consume it. It's all how you consume. You can combust, you can do edibles, you can vaporize. There are so many different ways to approach and interact with the flower without bringing harm to your physical body, which is why they have cannabis oil that stops in seizures and kids who have things like epilepsy. It's given so much more vitalization than it is harm. So my journey with cannabis really started from an educational, it started from, you know, let me get high. You know, and I would do it sporadically because I didn't want to mess up my singing voice. But then as I started to educate myself, I learned how to just infuse it in my life. They would call me a microdoser, someone who's able to partake in cannabis throughout the day and still get things done because they're consuming at very low dosages.
You know, what's crazy is we should know our food like this. Like,
oh, I do that too.
Like everything we consume, like say I'm eating a, like I'm eating a hamburger from somewhere. I'm like, yeah, this got phosphate 6 in it, and it got a little bit, you know what I'm saying, 63 milligrams of sodium that breaks down into phosphorus prostates. Like, we should know all this.
We used to, and then they took the right away, just like the right to swipe.
Mm.
All right, let me say this, right? I just learned more about weed in about 3 minutes than I have in my whole life.
Yeah, that's another crazy thing, because most people just smoke weed. Like, they don't know anything about it.
Yeah. And did you say coyote pee?
Coyote pee. Because there's two ways to cultivate cannabis. The first way is organic in nature, in the wild, allowing the dirt from the ground, the sun, the rain, the elements of nature that all, you know, happen with the flower. Then there's hydroponics. A lot of these dispensaries are hydroponics, where they're cultivating marijuana indoors using water and chemicals. So it's similar to the process of conventional vegetables versus organic vegetables. It depends on where you are geographically and what the environment is doing at that time, right? So if you understand where it's being cultivated, what the environment is doing at that time, you can ask yourself, am I consuming organic cannabis, or am I consuming hydroponics, which probably will be more potent because the chemicals are concentrated and you have to feed the plant those chemicals on a day-to-day basis multiple times.
Mm. Wow.
Hey, you need to open up a whole weed factory.
Yo, like, I kind of want to smoke weed.
There's nothing wrong with consuming cannabis. It's kind of like having, it's likened to alcohol, right? It's actually less potent in terms of the effects it has on your body than alcohol. And like I said, with different ways of consuming, like edibles and vaporization and precision vaporizer specifically, you can actually control your experience. One of my clients, Da Vinci, the reason why I rock with them so heavy is because I believe that they are forward thinkers and they truly are innovators, especially with the technology that they create when it comes to conscious consumption. And they have this device that basically has an oven that bakes the cannabis. So you're not even flaming it, because when you light up a joint, you're heating that at 610 degrees. So you're getting the butane and you're combusting. But when you're baking your cannabis from anywhere from zero to about 430 degrees Fahrenheit, you're actually going to get a different experience because the flower has different activations with those boiling points. So you could actually say, you know what, I just want a little something to feel energized, get you sativa, heat that bad boy up at about 190 Celsius, and fucking smoke. There should be no vapor, because that's what vaporization means, no smoke, so it's healthier, and just see how you feel.
So does a weed brownie taste like a weed brownie, or does it taste like a regular brownie?
Okay, my relationship with edibles is so iffy. When I first started taking edibles, I would literally block my nose. You know how you block your nose to go underwater?
Yeah.
I would block my nose, chew it up, little pieces, make it liquidy, swallow it, gulp it, drink it with water. The reason for that was because I did not like the flavoring, right? But now they have things like distillate, which is concentrated oil and liquefied THC, okay? And you can use that. It has no flavor, no taste, no smell. So you can use that to make edibles now. But at the time, people were basically melting the flower down, extracting the oil with the filter, using that oil to make things. So, of course, you was going to get that flavor, that taste. So for me, it was a love-hate relationship. And then I had to learn about my dosages. Because if you smoke weed a lot, then your edible level, the milligrams needs to be higher. Like, it takes me at least 150 milligrams just to even feel edible, where the average person only needs maybe 25 milligrams to 50 milligrams. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Is
there a different high from smoking it? Oh, really?
Yep. When you do edibles, like I've tried everything from oils to dabbing. Like, I've tried everything, even the THC pills. I've tried it all. And my favorite consumption, or my preference, I have to say, is smoking a joint. I know it's not the best, but it gets me to that place faster. Combustion will do that. But your high will probably be anywhere from 15 to 30 minutes. Whereas if you take an edible, it's going to take 45 minutes just to get into your bloodstream. And that's contingent upon if you ate before you took it, or when was the last time you ate was, because it has to go through your whole digestive system just to extract the THC, put it in your bloodstream so you can feel it. Then when that happens, you can feel an edible high for about 75 minutes up to 4 hours, depending on how much milligrams. So some people will either fall asleep because they just cap out and it makes them sleepy, or some people, depending on
how you are,
and you might get paranoid, or you might start to feel anxiety because you're so high and you don't know what
you can
do
forget
with it.
A lot of people forget after they take the edible that they took the edible because it takes
it takes
time to kick in, and most people don't focus on the timing that it takes. Most people just go on about their day because it's so easy to access. So when it kicks in, it's almost like your first time going on Goliath sometimes if you take too much. And that's when you hear those stories of people saying, oh my gosh, I trip balls, or I am never taking edibles again. It's because they weren't properly educated on what their body needs.
Yep.
That's wild. So that was
like, for real.
That was a good lesson in the you know what I'm saying?
Now we're the herb world.
Yo, yeah, the world of weed, yo.
Yeah, like, call it the herbal essence.
W-O-W, wow, baby.
So now we're gonna get into a soap opera. Chloe Carter, what's up?
We got to kick out the soap opera voice with the dramatization. I'm just saying, I'm ready.
Go
I'm
ahead.
Working on my voice.
Do that. Do that.
Jill, don't go. Come back. I can't. I just watched Khloe Kardashian and Tristan Thompson. I think that's his last name. They just broke up because of some girl named Jordan. Jordan. Who's Jordan?
No, what's the soap opera? I want to know. What stories we watching?
This is As the World Turns right here.
That part.
Yo. So, all right. What Jordan Woods was on the, what's the name? Will Smith and Jada Pinkett's round table show?
Yeah, round table.
Mm-hmm. So I saw it, by the way.
I didn't know Jordan Woods, like, grew up with the Smiths.
Me either.
Yeah, I didn't know that at all.
So, yeah, her pops was the sound engineer for the whole life of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air show.
Oh, word?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yep. And he passed away. You know that, right? So then it ended up being just her mother and her brother. And Will Smith said that he felt like he was supposed to step up in their life because of the relationship that he had with her dad. So these people are more than just coworkers. They've evolved to family members. And then Jada was talking about how Jaden and Jordan were best friends growing up. And Jaden was the bridge to the Kardashians. Because Jaden was hanging out with
Kylie. Okay.
That's how Kylie and Jordan met, and they became inseparable. Pre-black girl vibes, you know, because Kylie done changed her whole look.
Dang. So, all right, I didn't see the whole thing with with Jada Pinkett Smith at the table, but I seen the part where she said she was sitting on the edge of the couch with her legs on Tristan.
Yes, and I understood what she meant when she said that. And I believe every woman, if you're real about it, you're going to tell the truth. And this is what I seen in my mind when she said that. If you're at a house party and there are these little cramped up ass chairs, because you know people in Hollywood always have this modern ass furniture because they really don't want people at their houses. So shit's not supposed to be comfortable. And then if you have people putting chairs and shit around together so that they can create some type of a congregation, I can understand if you have on tight dresses and shit, and then you sit down, and the only like everybody's so squished in that you're like, okay, I'm just gonna put my legs right here on you, and it's not even something where you're like, ooh, I want to put my body on you, so I'm giving you them vibes. It's like, listen, nigga, I don't want my legs all the way open, you know, I don't want pussy showing, and these heels hurt, so I need to sit the fuck down, and this is the best angle I could get right about now in the circumstance. So I understand that because I've been in that position. And I've been in those positions, like, with friends who, like, you don't really want to be in that position with, because it just feels awkward, especially when you look at them as a friend. So I understand what she said when she was like, you know, I put my legs on them. I probably shouldn't have done that because people are always looking. Case in point, I have a celebrity best friend of mine. And when we worked together, we worked very closely. I was his assistant for years. But there was one point where we were working and it was cold and I didn't bring my fucking coat. My stuff was in my car. And he was like, yo, aren't you cold? Like, you have on a tank top. Like, it's cold out here. Do you want to wear my sweater? And so when he gave me his sweater, there was like a hesitation. And he was acting weird the whole time I wore it. So I'm like, dude, why the fuck are you going to give me the sweater if you're going to act like this, right? We got back in the trailer. And he's like, you still cold? You're going to go to your car, right? And so I addressed it. I'm like, dude, what's the vibe right now? Why are you acting weird? He said, sometimes you have to be aware of perception and what people see and how what they'll think. He was like, I was wearing this sweater, and then now you're wearing my sweater, and they might think something differently. And I instantly understood what he meant at that moment, too. And I'm like, ah, I get it. Cool. But and it goes back to that thing, well, then why even offer it to me, right? And that was Jordan's whole thing. People were like, well, why did you even go to this party? She's like, you know, that was probably where my mistake was, going to this party. Because once I figured out where we were and then they were retrieving people's phones, that was my cue to kind of check out right there. Like, for me, if I knew that it was clearly cloudy and dark, I shouldn't have thought in my mind, well, I'll have some time to come back to my car and grab my sweater. Because me wearing that sweater could have blown up a lot of shit. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah. So what? What
I, yeah.
I think, all right.
Hey, listen. Hey, Chicago Police Department, y'all done took goddamn Jess off the street for lying. Y'all done took motherfucking Jess to jail for lying. Y'all goddamn show locked him up for lying. But Chicago Police Department, after y'all get through booking motherfucking Jesse for lying, drive y'all motherfucking ass a fly right on up there to D.C. and get the motherfucker in the White House who lied 30 to 40 times a motherfucking day. Yeah, go lock him up too for motherfucking lying. Y'all lock motherfucking Jess up. You lock Jess up for motherfucking lying, Chicago Police Department. Now ride y'all motherfucking ass right down up there to D.C., and lock that motherfucker up in the White House who tell 30 to 40 motherfucking lies every day. Yeah, do that, motherfucking Chicago Police Department.
I think that's a violation the way she was had her legs all on that man. Like, there, she could have moved somewhere else in the party. True. And it's like, when I was in high school, we was like 15. My boy was talking to this chick. So everybody's going back to her house, but he wasn't with us. And he was talking to her at the time. So I hit him up. I'm like, hey, we about to go to your girl's house. So that's where we're going to be at. And is everything cool with that? Because I don't want him, you know what I'm saying, look like I'm going behind his back. Like, if y'all best friends like that and you know that's your sister's man, why couldn't you just send her a text or something like, hey, we going back to Tristan's house?
That's right.
And then, like, being like that, like, if my man's girl was sitting on the couch, and why I'm gonna get all close to her? Like, nah, I don't even hug my homeboys' girls.
There are some dudes that are creepy, though.
Who said I do? Is that Stone?
You think you know what it is?
Oh my god! So what do you think about it, Stone? You thought it was cool, or
no? It's all the way wrong. It's all the way wrong. If that's your girl, like her, the relationship her and Kylie have. You shouldn't have been in that situation. I go to the party, all that, whatever. But when it comes to sitting anywhere by this dude, it shouldn't have been that. Unless it's on some, like, they cool like that. Like, maybe they spend a lot of time at Kylie's house and they cool like that. And somebody just misinterpreted it and ran with the story.
Oh, and then it's a beef because she didn't tell them where she was.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, she didn't say nothing about it, or she didn't say anything at the appropriate time. Like, yo, like, when the story came out, she'd be like, nah, yo, it's nothing. This is what happened. But she ain't do that, so now it's a whole nother thing.
Styles?
It was a kiss.
That's really interesting because, you know, we're addressing Jordan. She's the topic. And at the same time, me in my walk of life, I'm like, yo, I hold myself accountability and all that, accountable in all that I do. So I'm looking at Tristan like, yo, bro, what you doing?
Yeah.
More people are, you know, the eyes are really on you. It's not really on Jordan. Nobody fucking knows who Jordan is until now. Mm-hmm. You know, and then I'm like, okay, so no one's talking about this. So I think he has to hold himself accountable. And it's crazy because even Baller Alert had tweeted out 3 hours ago, but I went straight to the direct source on Chloe's Twitter, where 8 hours ago she's like, why are you lying, Jordan Woods? And she tagged her handle. She said, if you're going to try and save yourself by going public instead of calling me privately to apologize first, at least be honest about your story. By the way, you are the reason my family broke up.
No.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's not happening right now, though.
Yeah.
In 2019, yes, it is.
It is. And to follow up, within that same 8-hour stint, she also says, Tristan is equally to blame, but Tristan is the father of my child. I don't understand.
Did Chloe take Lamar Odom from his pregnant?
Yes.
Didn't Chloe do that?
Chloe did it a couple times. Like, Tristan was still with that pregnant chick when they got together.
See what I mean? So,
you know what I'm saying? So are you
trollers? I look at the trolls too. They're like, Kim took Kanye from Amber. Chloe took French Montana from Trina. Chloe took Tristan from Jordan. From Jordan Craig. Took Tiger from Black China. And Kylie took Travis from Justine Scott. And the list goes on. More names than, you know, the
clan. That's why I still say this is promo for their new show.
Exactly. To make Chloe relevant again.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Because there's no reason for this to happen. I still don't see Jordan doing anything to jeopardize her relationship with Kylie.
Did say he kissed her. You know that. She said that he kissed her, and she didn't kiss him back. And she kind of said she looked at him like, bro, like, what are you doing? So she did admit to kissing him.
And that interview is out today.
Yeah.
Yo, Tristan Thompson is the dumbest dude alive, yo.
Facts. Oh, you had one job. You had one job. Especially pregnant and be a baby daddy. You had one job.
Be quiet, yo. You won a championship. go somewhere and be quiet, yo.
All right, I got a question, man. All right, you know, like a lot of people run with the Kris Jenner set all this up for the shows and stuff. Like, think about all these scandals that came out and how, like, let's say we set something up, but it gets complicated when the fans get involved and the threats and the DMs and all the constant people getting on you. So wouldn't this start weighing on them and they would be like, you know what, we don't want to do this no more?
No, because it's still a business. And all right, so let's take perspective. We have Chloe, then we have Jordan. Chloe, like shortly after all that was announced, she's already out on the red carpet still doing business. And Kim had actually sent out a tweet, you know, showing a video of her sister, like, through it all, you know, family still has to continue the business. And then now they're like, oh, you should have kept this private, this and that, but you came out in the public and you allowed the people who publicize your name speak about this, you know, so it's just breadcrumbs, like you guys said.
So, go ahead.
Now, we always talk about what people do for money, yo.
Yeah.
This is fame and money.
Mm-hmm.
So they as long as you know what's true, what everybody else says doesn't matter. They look at themselves as actors, yo. This is a TV show. They just acting. This ain't really part of their life. This is just some shit to make y'all watch it.
I'm so glad you said that because while the Kardashians, okay, so not only did they bombard us with R. Kelly and Jussie Smollett, then they sprinkled a little Michael Jackson on it before introducing this Kardashian drama, and everybody's ignoring the fact that right now Pakistan's in war with Israel, a real war.
Well, Pakistan and India
are going at it. They're in a war today, and people have died, like over 40 people have died, but everybody's focused on Jordan talking about Khloe's baby daddy doing what he's been doing since before he met her. He's been himself.
If you've been around NBA players, you know they have women lined up, like, yes, they're the club.
Yo,
after every game.
Having a baby by an NBA player, this is kind of your fault.
Yo, so basically they having a victory dinner then tonight.
Yeah.
Well, I love, the one thing I can't say about all this fuckery though is, right, I love how Will and Jada rally behind this young lady because they're not just no typical people, they're power players in the industry. And so for them to be like, listen, I know the world has one perception, but we both to let you, you're going to see two sides to this story. Yeah, and I love
pile up on you. Yeah.
Exactly. I love how they supported her. I wish we could do that with all of our circumstances like that, especially within the Black community. I wish we could rally behind others to say, all right, let's look at this. Yes, this is very fishy and something is wrong, but let's give both parties an opportunity to incriminate themselves. Because if Jordan is lying and she just said all this shit in front of her auntie, and then somebody pops out with some footage showing something more, then there's going to be a whole shit storm. Now you just ruined the reputation. It's like when Oprah allowed that dude A Million Little Pieces to come on her show, and then she found out the story wasn't true.
A Like Jada said,
don't be messing up the red table. She about to throw bleach
on
Jada
the shit. Even said, Jada told Jordan, like, I know, Jada said personally, she knows that the truth is really a hard thing to do and digest, you know, to speak the truth, because there's levels to truth. So it's like, whether Jordan may be lying or not, there has to be some kind of truth to get her to go and speak publicly, just to clear her name, because who is she to the Kardashians, really?
Yeah.
And the Kardashians are used to people coming around mm-hmm. for fame. And the Kardashians have been around people for fame, which is a part of the business, but the truth is not in a tweet all the time, you know what I mean? So it's like the fact that Jordan is here publicizing it, speaking about it, but Khloé isn't, maybe that, I don't think it's a good look. I think Khloé should. She might as well, if she's going to stand out in the public and still tweet about it, she might as well step out and just be honest. Maybe it could be beneficial for her.
Yeah, stop reacting to stuff and just get in front of it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just address it. Just address it and address it.
Or do
it like
we need
adult.
To? Like, a part of me is thinking, like, okay, so imagine people yourself in this circumstance, right? Like, let me, I have been a woman that
you're
has,
still a woman.
Okay. No, I'm saying, my past, when I was a younger woman, I made some bad decisions. And I have entertained sexual relations with a married man at some point in time. I did that conscientiously knowing, right, what I was doing. But I was young and this person was giving me money and doing all kinds of things that I enjoyed. And I would do anything to deny it down to the bone during that time in my life. However, it's like you got to understand also fortunately for me, there wasn't social media and shit, because I'm sure my spot would have got blew the fuck up. But think about this point in time, right? Like, you, when you're young, you make dumbass decisions like this. Who says that we have to fucking address it? Just because you're famous and is a famous person, who says, as a publicist as well, I would advise my client, I'd be like, ignore it. But if you're going to address it, yes, tell the full truth. Yeah. Like a lawyer would say. The lawyer would say to me, tell me the truth, the whole truth, because if I don't know everything, I don't know how to protect you. Same thing with publicity. Tell me the whole truth, because if I don't know how to protect you. So who's to say that we even have to fucking give these justifications? It's like back in the day with the church. If you made a sin, you had to go up in front of the whole congregation and say, hey, everybody, I have sinned. Like, it's nobody's business. Who says that he has to address this? Who
at
says
this
that Khloé
point,
has to
I believe
it?
The people.
And who says that Jordan has to address
because the people,
it?
Think of this as, remember Celebrity Deathmatch? Mm-hmm. Like how they used to put your favorite stars in claymation in the ring.
It's
and then they
back
would fight
to
death.
Right?
And people wanted that. This is, without the goring and all that stuff, this is the same concept where it's like people are becoming desensitized every day to things that we would call in the now.
Pop
so
Bobby.
It's like, yeah, it's like eventually people want to see something like how you see a Soulja Boy come at Chris Brown or who else, like people, Soulja Boy and one of those guys, Jake Paul or something.
Pretty
like
much
that.
Everybody would.
Right? You see what I'm saying? So this is, I think this is all a buildup to get the people desensitized to even these things, to just want to fight. Just like, look, show us this. We just want this shit deaded. Don't fuck with us. We going back to smoking our joint.
Yeah. I think it's feeding the beast, right? Mm-hmm. So the less we know about it, the more we talk about it. So Twitter's going to keep going because if Khloé comes out and says exactly what's going on, exactly how she feels, exactly what she's going to do, then people can't make it up in their own mind of what's going on. Exactly. If she doesn't say anything, then Twitter's busy all day over what she needs to do, how she needs to feel. So it's just, give them a little bit, then be quiet. And that shit works.
Yep.
For a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yo, is Lil Terrio the black DJ Khaled?
What?
I wouldn't say that.
Why you say that?
Because DJ Khaled and Terry have been working out for the past 10 years, and they the same size.
Terrio has not been working out.
Yo, I just started following Terrio on Instagram, and the trainer be putting him through some hard workouts, but I could tell he be eating even harder.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. I was gonna say, you know what? When like, in order to reach your fitness goals, you have to change your eating. That's what I was gonna say. So like, you can work out every day, but if you're not cutting out certain foods, you're not gonna get no results. Yeah.
Like the pizza I had last night.
Your biceps might be strong from lifting that chicken wing to your mouth, but I don't know about anything else.
Get my push-ups today.
Hey, instead of doing push-ups, they need to do push-aways. Like, yo, push that plate away.
I just wish people would start exercising, though, for the sake of being healthy and not letting their sex drive bring them to that point, because once people transform their bodies, like, they go through emotional trauma. Have you guys ever heard those stories? I know a few friends who were, like, over 200-300 pounds. They've lost a lot of weight, got under 100-something, and their sex life and just picked up so much to the point where they were starting to become horrible people because...
Yo! Hold up.
No, I'm just telling you. No, okay, so one of my friends, she was saying how, like, for her, like, she had a problem where she was, like, she was sexing up a lot of people because she felt, for the first time in her life, attractive. Like, she did not think she was attractive at all. And then, you know, she's got her sexy body on and done had some sex and things, end up getting pregnant and all that good stuff, and then blew the fuck right back up. And let's not all ignore Kelly Price. She had a whole surgery. And she's big again.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this. That's a good point to bring about, Creative. It's like, y'all, how you been working out? You're the same size. It's like, bro, what's really going on?
But okay, so as for the woman with the sex drive, right, which is hilarious to me because I never heard it that way. I always know dudes that get in shape and start fucking everything, but I ain't no women do that. But,
yes.
So for... I was always told that a pretty girl that got fat still has that pretty girl attitude. So she approaching her is not a good thing because she still thinks she's pretty. But you know, everybody talk to skinny and fat chicks different ways.
Yeah.
But a fat girl that got skinny, she still has that fat girl personality. Mm. So she is a well-rounded person.
I've heard that.
I've heard it too, but I have seen some fat girls go skinny and turn skinny in mentality too.
Yo, wow, I've never heard it that way.
Yes, because, like, imagine this. You get no play your whole life, like none. And then now you finally look someplace, but even in your own mind, you still haven't got to that ideal goal, right? But as you're transforming, onlookers are seeing the transformation. So you're getting attention from everywhere, right? And if you're one of these chicks that don't got your miles up, which I'm going to start this campaign, you don't need a body count, okay? Nobody cares about how many bodies you got. But for some of these chicks that have had no body.
Hey, I mean, yo, you got to go to, like, middle schools and start that campaign.
I'm glad you said that, because I said today to my husband, because one of my friends, I was asking him about a mentorship program that he does, and they just opened it up for women. And I was like, you know what? I want to get to the teen girls. He's like, no, we have the younger girls because we're trying to get to them at a young age before they get. And I'm like, nah, but what about those girls who already made bad choices and they don't know how to fix the choice right there? It's like when you get lost driving someplace, you can always pull over, ask for directions, and turn around, right? So why can't we give the same thing to these younger girls who maybe are 16, 17, making bad choices, but they need someone to say you're still young enough to do it better?
Because you said you can go someplace, get lost, and turn around, right?
Sometimes, yes.
Yeah. But you can't change that odometer. Them miles is still on there. Yeah. And those is double miles because you made that trip twice.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of sexual, in the sexual, what do you call it, arena, I don't know if this is true, but I heard a couple of days ago that since birth, men have a certain amount of boners in the tuck.
What?
And once we reach that number, that's when you get impotent and can't have get up anymore. Is that true?
Oh, please.
That's what God, it's a women, with women, it's kind of like into women with our eggs, right? Like we're born with so many eggs that will be fertilized. And so once those eggs are gone, whoop, you're done. But I believe you still get a sex drive. I want to say that that might not be true. How can you say you only get so many number of boners? Like, dude, then that means every young dude has could have wasted like half of those during his masturbation life.
Yo, my shit should have ran out by now.
That's why I'm heated, man. All the wasted boners.
Yo. All right, let's just say you get maybe 300,000 boners per lifetime. I don't know. Yo, how does that work?
I'd have doubled that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I might be going off for no reason.
Like, if that were the case, every man would use their sword wisely.
Yo, yeah, bro, exactly. It would be okay. It would be so different.
Let's think about that. Okay, I'm the only woman on this call right now. I'm surrounded by three men, so I have to ask a question. Okay, guys. If you knew, like the day you're born, right, the doctor says to your mother, okay, here's a little creative. Now, you just remember, he shouldn't start having sex until he's about 23 because he only has about 30,000 boners. So make sure that you help him make better choices with how he uses those. It could be hazardous to his health and happiness as he progresses through life. So now you become of age and your mother says, son, I want to talk to you about the birds and the bees. I want you to know that you only have 30,000 of these boners. And so you might want to choose your hoes wisely. No,
that would be hilarious. Like, but see, that's impossible for a man to be designated because realistically through studies,
So your mother said that to you. She says, son, you only have about, so choose wisely. Like, what would your, how would you go about life?
Boner is according to your blood flow. Look, boners coincide.
If you came with age, right, let's just say the age of when guys got their boners, right, was like 18, and your mom is obligated by law to sit with you and tell you how to properly use these boners, right? Would you, or your father, would you gentlemen make different choices on how you?
All right, I would save mine to the latter years of life.
I got no control over this.
No, you can carry. You can carry around a cooler with ice packs.
No, there's nothing I can do with this, man. It just happens. If exactly. I got a designated amount, yo, my shit is. Let's say you start at 18, right? Mm-hmm. By 18 and a half, I'm done.
30,000 times you've done
my life. No, this is getting hard for no reason.
No, I'm carrying. I'm keeping mine on ice, man. Like a
you're gonna lose yours to frostbite.
No, I'm just thinking like what that would look like for some dudes. Okay. Has anybody ever seen that movie, The Invention of Lying? That guy, okay, so remember when he told the first lie to the woman, he's like, the world is about to end. And she's like, the world's about to end. We need to have sex right now. She's like, do you have cash or card? Like something like that. And so his first lie was to tell her that the world was ending. And she looked around and he was the last man in front of her. Yep. So she's like, fuck it, I need to have sex for the last time. Like, what if that experience was similar? Like that's a funny thought.
Would you have sex or would you pass?
Let's just say you only got one boner left. Yeah, not even left. Let's just say you get one boner only, right? Which girl would you sleep with and how? What would be your criteria? There's so many beautiful women in this world. As a man, I don't even know. Your penis would like explode just thinking about which one to dive into.
As long as she has a vagina, it's okay.
Well, no, you mean a vagina from birth.
I don't need no.
I'd have to get a porn star.
Did you say a porn star?
Hey, porn.
No, you said porn.
Nope.
Yo, when you get to that last one, like, in everybody's mind, it's like, okay, I'm saving that last one for the best. Sometimes it's like that. It's like 2 o'clock in the club about to close. You ain't looking for the best. You looking for the rest.
Yes. Yes.
Wouldn't that be like losing your virginity if it was only that one chance to make it happen and make it count? And what if you slept with that woman and then you're like, fuck, I wish I saved it.
Yeah, it was awful. Yeah. I was thinking that. You know what if it was awful? That's right.
Yeah, what if it was, yo, what if you find out you're gay that time?
That's some real shit. That's some real that sounds shit. Like, oh right. My God.
Wait. Damn, that's crazy. That's fucked up.
I've been spending my whole life looking for this, and I don't even want it. Like, and now I can't do nothing about it.
At one chance, I got one nut, and because that fell me, now it's like, fuck it. I guess it was. Switch sides, that's fucked up. Don't get any more boners.
Game over.
What the fuck are you living for? Like, a man must have a boner, you know? That's a part of it. Because women outnumber men.
Yes,
we and do. Women need living, to get the dick.
We're living longer. Yes, we are.
Is it true that women outnumber men, or is that just a myth?
No, it is true. And these, true. Like, there are a lot more women than men, and we also live longer. We have a longer lifespan than men.
Y'all need to even up these numbers in the clubs then, because
yo, the club be dry. But okay, so women live longer than men, and there's more men than there's more women than men. So that leads me to believe that I forgot what it's called. The two wives. What is that called?
Bigots, like sister wives.
Is it bigamy? Bigamous?
Polygamy?
Yes. Polygamy.
That is a viable option now.
It's been for a while,
that's
actually.
That's biblical, though. In the Bible, they had villages and they had, you know, different kings and stuff that gave women children, not only to like, sustain their throne, but it was a part of making a woman whole. There's a wholeness that comes to a woman when she bears a child, right? Same, like animals that are females. The same thing with them. They don't just be like, the dude that gets to run up on them, the animal that gets to run up.
He was
brave enough to approach it, which shows her he's going to be there to kind of provide through this everything she needs during this process, right? So there's an instinct there. Same thing with humanity. There's an instinct there for a woman that says, all right, I know what I desire, and there's only so many things I necessarily need, especially from a man. Half the time, men annoy the fuck out of us, because as we get older, our hormones are uncontrollable, and we're
facts
to everything, right? And then our libido is very, very high, and even if you have sex, you probably will end up masturbating because your partner may not be able to keep up with that libido. So you learn to have more meaningful sexual experiences that you may not have to have frequently.
It's
and then
ridiculous.
Yeah. And then you think about conversation. Women have 20,000 words a day, and men have about 7,000 to 8,000 words a day. So all a woman really needs is a companion and someone to talk to. And if she has a child to nurture and she's sexually fulfilled and she's learning things about herself and applying, women are satisfied in that. And they're nurturers, so they bring life. Men, on the other hand, I'm not a man, so I don't know too much, but I understand that even the psychology is different. Like, as long as they're providing, protecting, and professing, they're living, and they're spreading their seed, right? But with that does come a certain level of accountability, especially if you're to duplicate yourself, right? So back then in the biblical days, they were having harems, and they were making babies, and the king's bloodline was living on, while also these women had, you know, some type of purpose in their own part too. That's why it was like important to them to have a son, because that son would carry on a name.
A name, yeah.
Exactly, and manifest something great. And, you know, so that's my take on that.
So with the living longer and what was the other one? Living longer and there's more. So if I have two wives and I die, they still got each other.
Yeah.
Yo.
Yes. But they're still widows.
Yeah,
but
you know what I'm saying?
They still got each other. They, have
they still got each other together. You know what I'm saying? We were in this together because over a long period of time, y'all might not like each other in the beginning, first wife, second wife type thing, but over time, y'all going to grow to love each other.
Mm-hmm.
Look, my anniversary is on Sunday. 20 years. I'm bringing this up. It's about to be some changes around here.
Okay, so let's really ask the question, though. A man can really barely sustain one successful relationship. Mm. Why would he want two women? That's why that's not likely. It's not something that's happening all the time, because in Africa, when they do it, it's a village. It's one man that is giving these women children, you know, so that they're populating the village. Each one teach one. They all take care of each other. But in America, it's kind of not like that. So, like, you're dealing with a different perspective, you know. What was you going to say, Sam?
No, it's for sure a different perspective. I mean, it's a lot of baby making, you know what I mean? And
it's more for them to have wholeness and populate. But here it would be like, this dude's like, damn, she's fine. I want that pussy.
It's philosophy.
Damn, she's fine. I want that pussy too. And you know what? Hopefully I can have both pussies at any time until I'm tired of these pussies. Then I'm going to go get another pussy. And if we have a system going, we can actually populate and get some shit done. That's how the black person thinks, unfortunately, as opposed to these other cultures who are like, listen, we need numbers. We need to strengthen ourselves, unify, come together, build something, and progress for the, you know, for the purpose of sustaining our family name and lifeline. And in America, it's just not the same intention.
So sex got the world all messed up.
Sex is not that great. Like, it's wonderful. But, like, when you really think about it, it's like, dude,
it's a purpose.
You willing to deal with two sex. Women's attitudes, no. All that energy, for just some different pussy.
It's a purpose.
I have sex now so I can have something to jack off to later.
What the hell? Whoa. Well, hey, everyone has a healthy sex. Like 20 years. Amen, bro.
Hey, I got a question about your boy Donald Trump, right? All right. Does Donald Trump get the full presidential tour, or is he a liability? And what I mean by the tour, I mean, does he get to see the aliens? Does he get to know who killed JFK, or do they shield all that information from him?
Yeah, nah, he's cut off.
No, you have to understand whoever is in that office is they know everything that they need to know, and they are coached. They have a whole team of people who control what they say, when they say, how they say, and what they say once they're released from their position. On Cannabis and Chardonnay a couple of weeks ago, Creative, remember we had that guy, Robert, he was an ex-spy. And one of the things he said in the beginning of his show was that the only way he was able to get out of being a spy working for the CIA in the United States, it was to basically swear secrecy for life. So, and then he went on to say half of the secrets that he knows he cannot remember.
Mm. So you telling me Donald Trump being a live wire he is, even they can scare him into silence?
Hell yeah. Yes. When you realize that there's something out there that's bigger than you, and when you understand the bigger agenda, which is bigger than your comfort or your fame or your popularity, the bigger agenda, the answer is yes, there are other life forms that we have allegiances with. The answer is yes. Every person who sits in that office has pledged allegiance to these sources and the relationships that the people who on the planet have. And then the third thing is if they do say anything, their whole existence is annihilated from themselves to their family members and everyone. May yeah. not be all at once, but the shit will happen. So it's like when you swear into secrecy, every president is a Mason. You have to be a fucking Mason. To even get in, you have to be a 33rd degree, which means there's a certain level of knowledge over that 33rd level, which is usually like allegiance to the Luciferian agenda, which is a one world government, one world plan, which is bigger than whoever the fuck is sitting in the office. They just need a face to strum up the people's energy. They need the energy of the people for their rituals. That's why they allow the fuckery to happen, because negative energy gives them more. Positive energy is more powerful, but negative energy can be manipulated a lot easier. So let's put a stupid motherfucker in the office now. It's like science experiences every 8 years. Science experiences.
Yeah, we can control them no matter
what. Let's see what they react to now. Let's see how they react to this. Let's see how they react if we tell them that they can't get out. Let's see what happens if we tell them that we want their money to do this. Let's see what happens if, like, that's what all of this shit is. It's all like experiment. So yes, the president does know what the fuck is going on, and he's smart enough to play his role. You guys all watch WWE and WWF. Those wrestlers aren't really that fucking egocentric in their own lives in terms of this monstrous character that they play that's so dramatic. They have a different side of them. Same thing with the president and anybody in media or any public figure in the world. They all know how to play the game. And for the whistleblowers, they have been allowing enough stories to come out to show them how whistleblowers are dealt with. Who's the old boy who can't even come back to the country? Who told us?
Snowden.
Edward Snowden. He's in Russia, and he's only in Russia protected for as long as that it protects the interests of Russia. That's because he's giving American secrets away. So you see, anybody who knows and breaks the program, you will be ostracized or murdered. And they, like, period.
God damn.
I need Donald Trump to come out, lose his mind, and spill it.
Oh, he can write a book about
spilling it. They've been spilling it, though. Don't you guys watch the news when they're like, animals and fish are showing up, washing up on the shore in biblical proportions. Yeah. They say shit like that. Yeah. Biblical proportions. Yeah. Then they'll say things like, what was another thing that was really major for me where I was like, what? They're putting this shit out there? Where they're like, the Church of Satan is planning a celebration. Like, they be putting, notes in, or they'd be like, did you hear? Sounds heard all around the world. Big booms that no one can explain. Yeah.
There's a Church of Satan?
Yes, the Church of Satan, started by Antoine LaVey.
What the fuck?
Yes, yeah. There's a whole Bible and everything.
And there's a calendar of rituals connected with upper...
These things is crazy.
Every day is like a Roman holiday.
It's all proposing towards a one-world agenda. I'm telling you, it's a Luciferian agenda. They want the whole planet to align itself with worship of Lucifer, because that's going to bring about the end of the world.
After automation is
that's what I'm saying. That's the worship. People always say, how does the devil know everything, right? There used to be a point in time where they said the devils can't read your thoughts, but we're always fucking telling Facebook what we think. So now he knows what you're thinking.
Huh? Hey, that just fucked me up right there. God damn.
See?
Just saying.
So if you only have one nut to bust, you can consult artificial intelligence to pair you up with your prime partner, and then you won't have to waste that nut. But they haven't fulfilled that yet. However, quantum computing is now in effect and pushing artificial intelligence into that new millennium where people will be conversing more with robots.
And they're trying to have this AI, this artificial intelligence, integrate with our human brains to read our thoughts so that they can communicate thoughts without us speaking. This is real shit that's reported in the news. You guys should check out Jason A's YouTube channel. He's a Christian, but he doesn't talk. He writes different narrations, but he shows you all of the news stories and correlates that to the different biblical verses
weekly.
Like, he's on point. Jason A. Professor Griff. I kind of listen to all teachers from all faiths. Mm-hmm. I have my personal faith in Christ, but I feel like everyone has their relationship. And the Bible tells us that, especially with Isaac and Ishmael. They were brothers, and Ishmael is actually the older brother because of Sarai's impatience, right? And what happened was the angel went to Hagar when she got banished and said, God will always look after your children. There are angels that will protect them. He'll be great in his nation. And that's where we get the Islamic nation from. You see what I'm saying? So it's like all of these different things, they all correlate and coincide with one another, right? And there's two sides to every story, bottom line. I don't want to go too deep. I was like, I'm going to go deeper, but then I was like, nope, stop yourself.
How deep there's is like, your
yeah, stop yourself.
I'm going to tell you real shit. All I heard was, I'm going to get to have sex with a robot.
Which they have those available in Japan and China right that's now.
That's what I'm talking about. Yo, but oh, go ahead. The way you put it, it's a robot specifically designed for me. Man, that's going to be
yes, and you can program her and put wigs and makeup on her and everything.
And if you want to take it further, they're to the point where they have robots that you can extract your consciousness into so that you could have the robot experience.
Yeah, you can tell the robot what to say. All this shit.
You can switch your body out. You can switch and look like whatever you want and have your consciousness.
That's all good. I just need a robot that clean itself.
Take care of something, baby. Would you? No,
go clean yourself up.
Yo, you wild. Yo, now we about to, you know what I'm saying? We about to end the show, but before we do, we got to play this or that. Mm. And I got some doozies for you.
Oh, okay. I ain't even going to open mine up. Let's get it.
Here we go. All right. This or that. The first one, you got to scrape roadkill off the ground. It's a possum. Or you got to hunt down a squirrel to eat. And you got to eat it alive.
So, okay.
I'm scraping the possum,
man. People do that already.
Wait, people scrape roadkill off the ground and eat it?
Yeah.
You said we have to scrape. Say it again. Scrape roadkill off the ground and
He left the eating part out.
It's a possum ran over by a semi truck.
No.
Wait. I can't cook it?
No, you got to eat it off the road.
Oh. All
right, I'll cook the squirrel. The
yeah, but the squirrel, you when you catch it with your bare hands, you got to eat it while it's alive. So you got to eat it to death.
Can I just fast and die if Jesus wants me? I'm like, I don't want to eat. So if I have to choose my this or that.
Either way, you're going to die eating that off the ground. Yes,
that is also a valid point, that you're going to die from all of this.
Now, eat possums and squirrels, but you got to cook that shit.
No, this is this or that. You don't die on either one of these. So,
So I would rather go with the squirrel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna do a squirrel too.
Smaller, eat it faster.
I gotta go with the roadkill, man. I feel like a savage chasing down a squirrel and eating it.
But think about the tire debris that's gonna be in the blood.
Yeah, I got it. Okay, so the possum was bust open and cooked in the sun.
Okay.
Oh, I like that. The sun cooked it and the ground was hot, so it fried it.
You know what I'm saying? It fried it a little bit.
Oh, man.
Sashimi.
It has to be the right temperature because it's not a good poison. And that can be like,
I'm going to die from roadkill anyway.
All right, yo, I'm going with the squirrel too. I gotta go with the squirrel, man.
Savage, man.
You savage gang. All right, this next one.
Your bare hands.
This next one. All right, check this out. You either shoot a 3-pointer once every 2 weeks with no practice, no warm up, just every 2 weeks. You gotta go out there and shoot this 3-pointer, and if you make it, you get $15,000. For 2 weeks, and that's how you live. You can make no other income, or you work 60 hours a week and you get paid every 2 weeks $5,000.
Hmm.
60 hours.
You gotta have a really good jump shot,
yo. For real, you gotta be wet with your.
I'm with the 3-pointer once every 2 weeks.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm with that. Me too. You know, that's nothing but form.
All right.
Yo, my jump shot went already. So I'm getting that money.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I ain't trying to work, you know what I mean? So, yeah, let me get... let me get the three-pointer. Yo, it's going to be a long 2 weeks. Yo, hit that shot, though.
Yo, you don't hit that shot. I said
this. Hey, oh, yeah. Now, Kobe didn't Roman get to be Hill. Kobe just by, you know, Roman showing Hill. Up. I'm practicing. I can't practice. Yo,
that hunger make you better, B.
Yo, if you miss like 2-3 weeks in a row, you're going to be too weak to throw that joint up.
I'm
fucking dying. Damn, I can't even find a place to get water. You know? Re-energize myself. I'll eat some kale.
Yo,
y'all ain't going to give us lunch before I take the shot?
You know what I mean? I'm sure I got at least something from the last shot I made, so I'm sure I could, like, meal prep for the next 2 weeks.
Just think, yo, that last shot was kind of shaky. I'm going to need to save a little bit of this, man.
All right, check it out. The next one. You can have a ham and onion sandwich every day for 6 months or peanut butter and jelly sandwich every day for 1 year.
Damn, that's
peanut butter and jelly.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, for how long?
The peanut butter and jelly is for 1 year. The ham and onion sandwich for 6 months.
Can I cook the onions?
Yeah.
And toast the bread?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do the ham and onions.
Is the ham uncured?
is it Virginia ham?
You know what?
High blood pressure in this motherfucker.
You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna need some good ham, man. Like,
exactly.
I'm taking a ham and onions because it's only 6 months.
Yo, I'm gonna take peanut butter and jelly. Yo, peanut butter and jelly's delicious, B.
For a year?
Yo.
I was like, I don't know though. Onions and ham is just so nasty. But if I'm able to doctor that shit up, I'll rock with it for 6 months. Yeah. Peanut butter and jelly is delicious.
Look, have y'all ever made a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and then set the knife somewhere besides the sink because you knew you was coming back to make another one?
Oh, daily.
You know what I'm saying? That's why I'm, peanut butter and jelly, man. I gotta go peanut butter and jelly.
I even take it further and put marshmallows in between sometimes. You know what I mean? Get that
and put a scoop of ice cream on the side.
Yeah, fry. Okay,
that's no longer a peanut butter and jelly.
Real peanut butter and jelly a la mode.
That's a full-on prison dessert. You
know? Dessert.
Hey, you even got the Big Mac peanut butter and jelly where you take the three breads.
Oh, this
you
know cat what I has done. I have been witness to Silas's three bread peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and I just looked at him like,
hold on. Hey, please explain this three bread peanut butter and jelly sandwich to me.
All right, so I one day it dawned upon me. I was like, damn, just like how you said you'll leave the butter knife by the sink because you might go back and get another sandwich. I'm like, man, fuck this shit. I don't want to get up and, you know, have to go through the process again. So I say, hey, like a Big Mac, let me just, you know, put an extra bread on the top and, you know, like spread on the top of the bun. So it's like making a cake too, you know, so I have a trifecta so that I don't have to get up and go make another sandwich. So I'm usually like one and done, two and one.
Yo, that is the laziest and best thing I've ever heard in my life.
You said the best thing.
Like, yo, that is pure lazy genius.
Yo, so check it out. Is it the bottom layer jelly, the middle piece, both sides peanut butter, and the top layer
That's
jelly?
That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking. That middle bread got peanut butter on both sides.
That, if you eat it all depends on where you want that. If you want to taste the jelly first or the peanut butter. If you want that jelly imprint to come later, you put the jelly in the middle. So I put the peanut butter on the bottom, the jelly in the middle, and then the peanut butter on the top. Mm-hmm. So it's actually like making one sandwich, you know, because if I did a reverse, then you'll taste the jelly first and then hit that warmth of the peanut butter.
I got to try it.
like for real, and that middle bread is get peanut butter on both sides, B.
I think it's smart. When you said that, I was like, you know what? I would put peanut butter on, put either peanut butter on front and back and then the jelly on each side, or put like jelly on both sides and one in the middle and peanut butter on the other one.
Yo, that middle bread is getting something on both sides.
Yo. Neglected, exactly. But if you do put the jelly in the middle, be careful because you could put so much jelly that it'll override the peanut butter combination when you bite. So yeah, you gotta like put a light spread of jelly on each side, and then it'll balance.
I'm about to have a phenomenal peanut butter and jelly sandwich
tomorrow.
Make
sure you take a selfie and put it in the promo.
Yo, I got to. I'm going to make this sandwich, and it's going to be the cover of this, man. Yo, it's going to be the poster for this.
I'm going down. If you really want to take it a step further, just grill it lightly on both sides. Just a smidge of butter. Grill it lightly on both sides. You won't be upset.
Especially if it's like potato bread.
Because the peanut butter melts a little bit, too.
You got to choose the right bread, too. Like, you could do a potato bread trifecta where you grill the sides. You know what I mean? It has that French toast type texture.
Yeah,
so
like
when you
brioche,
bite into it, just make sure you have a napkin because, you know, the peanut butter going to get a little juicy from the heat.
Hey, man, like for real, I'm sorry, y'all. talking about this peanut butter and jelly sandwich, I just wasted one of my erections.
But at least you get more.
Yo, this is the last one right here. All right, check this out right here. You only eat the food you absolutely hate for the rest of your life, or every day, you can't save none of the food. Every day, you have to hunt with no weapons and kill your meals daily.
So we back to killing squirrels.
You know what? I like that, creative. I would go with the first part of having to get my meals every day. Because that's kind of like life as it is right now. Because you don't know what you're able to afford to eat, depending on how much you made for the day. So, yep.
And all you got to do is kill it. So you don't really have to go through, oh, is this $10? Am I like $5 short on this meal? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's really just, and you get to choose whatever you want from nature.
That's right.
Yo, y'all making it sound real easy with no weapons in the woods.
You know what I'm saying?
No weapons
have
in the
you
woods.
Ever,
you got wood.
Listen, I have family Make members that live in Alabama. We went hunting. We used to play in the woods. I know how to snap a rabbit's neck real fast and how to peel that
you dangerous.
Fur.
Oh, Lord.
It's called basic things, honey. Like hunting, my dad taught us a lot.
I would look for a river, and
I know
would
how
fish.
To fish too. I know how to fish too with a can. I know how to fish with a can. I kid you not, and freaking fishing line string.
No, you got to jump in and you got to catch the fish.
With my bare hands, I could do that. You know, that's our ancestors.
I've never
shout
tried
out.
To fish with my bare hand. I
you know,
all right, Tarzan.
Man, I'm telling you, Tarzan in the flesh. I'm telling you, that Tarzan they promote, that's not the real Tarzan.
What about you, Stowe?
Man, I'm dumb lazy, man. Give me that living on you.
He said I'm dumb lazy.
You got living. Living words
and shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm eating all bullshit. Shit. I'm not about to chase down no dead meat, buddy.
Yeah, man, I'm just gonna have to learn to love the foods I hate.
I don't like this shit, but I'm good.
just saying.
And that has been this or that. We got anything else anybody want to discuss before we get out of here?
Nah, man.
Tune in to Cannabis and Chardonnay.
No, man, I just want to say, stay black and proud up in these streets.
Thank you for having us on this show.
Man, thank y'all for coming up here with us, man.
Yeah. Had a great time and get that joke.
Yeah, it's a good vibe. I like to laugh. You know, it brings healing.
Word. So, yeah, man, y'all know where to find us. Cannabis and Chardonnay. Forget that, yo. You know what I'm saying? Wherever you listen to podcasts, Google it. It comes up. We everywhere. You never there. And, yeah, you know how to find us, man. And we out.
Peace.
Any other show? Forget that, yo.
Y'all got fat out there while we starve.
Your body all on the ground, lay it down because I want something. Just look in my eyes and reach for the sky, girl. When you scream, I love it, and it's shining like ah. Baby, when you love me, it's shining like ah. Take my time, might be impressive. You get what you want, get it all from me. You can get on top of me when you're ready. Girl, I love how you do it. When you speed up, then you go slow. You know I love it. You don't understand when you make that booty dance. Then you turn that ass around. Can I go longer? Yes, I can. It's getting hotter by the hour. Making love up in the shower. My girl and I'm your man, do it all over again. Your body all on the ground, lay it down because I want something. Just look in my eyes and reach for the sky, girl. When you scream, I love it, and it's shining like my eyes and reach for the sky, girl. When you scream, I love it, and it's shining like ah. Baby, when you love me, it's shining like ah. Baby, you're screaming loud.
Estás escuchando Radio Forget That, yo.